down this row. That's the entire clan right there. That's my wonderful family. Yeah. So today I want to speak to you about a mission trip I'm going to be going on, but first I want to give you a little bit of backstory about how I got up to this point. So going through senior year of high school, it's confusing for a lot of kids. It's a laugh at that because I was dreadfully confused. I have no idea what I was going to do in my life. Going up through, I knew I wanted to do something to serve God because, you know, that's all we're really here for, right? And so it's like I knew that I needed to do something to serve God, but I wasn't sure what. And so the biggest thing that God has laid on my heart that as far as passions and desires, which I believe he gives to us to praise him with, is I love the world, basically. I love the world. I love people. I love traveling. I love experiencing life through everything, all different types, not just, you know, our own little bubble here in Tennessee here. And so after that, I knew it was missions. And I wanted a missions trip to really transfer me from childhood to adulthood, because I joke around with a lot of people. I'm mature enough to know I'm not mature. And so, yeah, amen. And so I needed something to really, really spiritually mature me as well, not just mentally. And so what I was looking for was something that I could serve other people, but something that would also grow me as a Christian. And so I believe, was a couple years ago, Mom? We were at a youth group retreat and up in Gatlinburg. I don't know if any of you have been to Winter Extreme, but they had a table set up there, Global Year, the organization that I'm going with. And what they do is they take freshly graduated high school students up through the ages of 25, and they take them on year-long mission trips for the purpose of creating missionaries. And that was awesome for me, because I knew that they would really challenge me. They would really form me into the person I want to be. And so the next step was just figuring out where to go. And through a long process of praying and deciding, we eventually settled on Cape Verde, Africa. Where Cape Verde is you hit Senegal, which is about Central Africa. You head left 350 miles off the west coast of Africa, and it's a string of islands right below the equator. I'll be staying on the main island of Santiago, and the capital of Praia is on Santiago. And what we'll be doing while we're over there is we'll be over there for 9 months, and for the first 4.5 months, we will be really jumping into the culture, because they are very their society is very culture-centric, and you have to be kind of everybody's friend or else they're not going to listen to a word you're saying. And so we really have to jump in. We really have to be a part of their family. And so that's what we'll be doing that first 4.5 months. Me and a buddy, we've already decided we're going to start up a children's sports ministry. And some of the other girls are going to do a bunch of different things with the women in the community. We'll be doing anything from helping them fish on their boats to helping them, you know, do their gardening or anything, you know, just kind of getting into the culture. And then once we have built that relationship and their trust to realize that what we want for them really is true and it really is, you know, the best for them, then that second 4.5 months, we will be going out to several of the 100 different villages that have not heard the gospel yet. Amen. And that's something that really excites me. It makes me a little bit nervous. It's like, don't mess up because, you know, you're the person bringing it to them. But I'm super excited about that. So this trip is going to be an amazing opportunity. It's going to grow me. I'm going to be able to help a lot of people. I know I'm going to have some awesome lifetime friends with this, because I'm going with two other guys and four other girls. And so there's seven of us all together. We'll be staying with a host missionary group over there. The funny part is we don't actually know where the guys are going to be staying yet. The girls will be staying above the missionaries in a little apartment, but we haven't found a house for the guys yet. So that's going to be interesting. But with this amazing opportunity comes a pretty big price tag. I need $12,000 by August 1st. Now, the good thing is, though, I only have 2,000 left of that. By God's grace, that it's just amazing. So, and I tell you what, that's all God, because I'm not a very patient person, and I have a hard time staying focused, and so that's all God right there. Yesterday, we had a barbecue benefit that my family worked tirelessly at. I cannot thank God enough for them, and we raised over $2,000 at that benefit alone. So praise God for that. But, so there, if you do choose to help me out financially, there are several ways you can do that. There's an online way, which is a little bit more complicated. So if you want to do that, I will stay here until everybody leaves, and then so everybody can get a chance to talk to me. If you want to do that, talk to me about that. And the easiest way, honestly, though, is to write a check out to Global Year. That's the organization I'm going with. And then I'll send that check into them, and they'll deposit that directly into their account they have set up for me. And so that's honestly the easiest and the safest way to do that. I don't think I missed anything. I always forget something every single time I speak. But if you have any questions, like I said, I'll stay until last person leaves. And I have a newsletter that I'm going to pass out as people are going out the door as well, and that has all the information on it. So if I miss anything, it's in there. I believe that's it. Thank you very much.
We used to buy honey from Matisse, and we also got two of the longest living goldfish on the planet. Are older, and then they live like 3 or 4 or 5 years after that. So I was, goldfish. You know, like you think every day could be the last day, right? Acts chapter 12. But it was exciting. The church we went to prior to this had a real great relationship with the Sorrells, and they just remember hearing their name, meeting them, being a So we're excited, to say the least. And we're going to have Matisse back here in hopefully in May, as soon as he comes back next year, to share what's happened, okay? And hopefully Nikki will be able to do the same. We want to hear fresh what happened on the mission field, all right? Acts chapter 12. Have your Bibles? Acts chapter 12. Y'all ready? Let's dive into the Word of God. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into the prison. He delivered him to the four quarterions of the soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And Herod would have brought him forth the same night. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came up upon him, and light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." And he went on and followed him, and wist not till it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they come unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which is open unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. Let us pray real quick. Heavenly Father, have your way in this service. You know every spiritual need in the house. Lord, I just pray that by the end of this service, if somebody feels like and prompted to by the Spirit of God, that they would come, surrender their life, service, heart, or worries, or pain, or heartache, and go home free and whole. In Jesus' name, amen. A Herod can make you come to Jesus. A Herod can make you pray. What do you mean? Herod killed James. That's the brother of John, the friend of Peter. One of the inner circle. I'm always amazed in the book of Acts. The book of Acts starts out just like this. James, who was the inner circle, always brought in to see the most important stuff. The Acts starts the beginning, and they're ready to take off, and his head's cut off. James' head's cut off in the very, very beginning. He's beheaded. That's how serious this is. That's how serious God is. Amen? He takes one of the people that you would think, man, God's preparing him, getting him ready. He's going to serve him for multiple years. He's going to do great things. You know what he did great? He died great. He died great. When given the opportunity, he died great. Now, as I read the book of Acts, and I love the book of Acts because it's the book of actions done by the Holy Spirit on believers. The book of Acts, not words, not good thoughts,
Not, hey, we're going to. Not, hey, let's get a planning committee together and decide if we're going to do it. It's the plan, the book of Acts, actions. Are you doing actions? Because the Holy Spirit resides in you. If you are, praise God. If you're not, you need to do two things. Check up on your salvation. Number two, ask God to give you a burden and a desire. I'm reading in the book of Nehemiah right now, and it's amazing how Nehemiah was taken into captivity. He was a slave, yet he was a child of God, and he stood beside the king every day because life was pretty good. He would taste the wine for the king and taste the food for the king, and he would stand there, and he was never sad. You know why? Because one day he got word of how messed up Jerusalem was, how messed up Judah was. And you know what he did? He got a heart broke. Amen? His heart broke for that country. His heart broke for what God's heart broke for. And for the first time, somebody seen him with his heart broke. The king looked at him and said, "Why are you heartbroken? What's wrong with you?" He said, "My home, my God, my temple, my people are a mess, and I seen it for the very first time. I want to do something about what God wants me to do."
Amen.
Are you wanting to do something about what God wants you to do? Because if you do, it's going to get ugly first. Because if you don't get broken over something, you'll never do anything. It takes brokenness. The only things I've ever done that are worth anything in ministry are things that my heart were broken over. Everything else, a lot of times, it's just surface stuff. James said, Jesus is worth dying for. Amen? James said, Jesus is worth dying for. I read this and I'm sitting here thinking, man, what a great start to ministry. As I read on in the chapter, I think James probably got the best deal out of all of them. Amen? I mean, he's sitting up there in the glory, amen? He's sitting with Jesus going, man, thanks, you must have really liked me because I'm up here with you and everybody else is still preaching and struggling and being in prison and here I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We got a messed up way we look. God made us this way in its own purpose. Listen, if you're a born-again child of God, you've got a better place coming. Amen. You better make up your mind, because when you get in a valley in this world, when you really get down and low, you better remind yourself, wait a minute, this is the furthest I'm going to ever spend away from Jesus. This is the farthest I'm going to ever be away from the kingdom of God. I'm okay. Amen. I'm okay. Things are looking good. I tell you that it takes a Herod sometimes to get you right, don't it? Somebody died from this. Amen. Sometimes you're going to get news in your life that other people have died from. You've got cancer. You've got a heart problem. You've got family troubles. Somebody in your family is going to get bad news one day. And you know what? It's going to scare you to your knees. It's going to rock you to your core. Amen? You don't believe me? Guess what? James is dead and Peter's in prison. Herod's got them both. And the only thing that's saving Peter's life is the fact that Easter's came. Amen? The only thing is timing. Or he'd have lost his head too. And guess what? What Peter done all night was sleep. What the church did all night was pray. What kept some awake all night, let one person rest. Ain't that amazing? One person was sleeping because he was resting in God's faith that he was in control. Whether I live or whether I die, whether I get up out of this prison or whether I don't, God's in control. But the church, amen, I've met some people in church before. They're like this. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go down there to the house of God today. If I don't get there early, I won't get my seat. Some of y'all didn't get your seat, did you? Well, if I get down there, they might make me park over there next to the gym, and I don't know if I can make the walk. I just don't know if I'm gonna make the walk or not. That's just too much. And if I don't get my spot, then you know how that is. Amen? But if you get the right news, we could park you down at the bottom of the mountain. You'd run up here. If you got the right news this morning, if the right thing was said, if you were desperate enough, if the hair was big enough in your life, you wouldn't have cared if you had to park down the street and walk down the highway and dodge cars and dodge a bear or two and get in here, because you'd have been like, guess what? Somebody else died from this. Somebody else is struggling from this. And I need God to answer my prayers. I'm going to go to church. But I'm going to hate to tell you this. That ain't going to last long. That ain't going to last long. There's only two things usually that'll keep you in, they'll get you to church. There's about one thing that'll keep you here. Something new will get you here. Amen. Get a new pastor, get a new building, get some new stuff. Guess what? People come in like crazy. And when the new wears off, guess what? I want to go somewhere else where they got other new stuff. That's all right. It happens. Tragic calamity happens. That'll bring you to the house of God, won't it? A Herod situation. A Herod situation will get you in here, and next thing you know, man, you'll be making promises and dedicating your life. And oh God, I'm going to do more. I'm going to do twice as much. God, I'm going to get socked in. I'm going to do all the things I promised you to do. But guess what? When the cloud lifts, if it does, will you settle back out? Oh, can I tell you the one thing that will keep you in? A relationship with Jesus. Just a good old relationship with Jesus. And all heck can break loose, or you can do all the great stuff, all kinds of great stuff can come in your life. You're still coming to serve. You're still coming to worship. You're coming because you're in love with the one who's here. Amen? You're in love with Jesus. The reason you'll stay on the mission field, the reason you'll do the thing that you've been called to do, despite of how you feel, is because you're in a relationship.
Amen.
Because you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It won't matter if somebody hurts your heart. It won't matter if you're upset. It won't matter if you get a disease. It won't matter if you get sick. It won't matter if you're doing great. It won't matter if you walk in here and everything's brand new and then all of a sudden it gets old. You'll still come because you're not in love with this stuff. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you're in love with the stuff, I hate to tell you, all the stuff will get old. Before I got saved, I was in love with stuff. Amen? I fell in love with a lot of stuff. But I found every time I fell in love with the stuff that I loved got old. And then I'd always have to love new stuff until I met Jesus, the one who made me. Amen? The one who makes you, amen, He's got a way of filling you that you always feel full no matter what stuff you have. Amen, preacher, that's pretty good preaching. I love Peter. Church is up praying all night and he's sound asleep on death watch. Chained to two men. I kind of get how he feels. I kind of get him because he's been preaching. It was 3,000 added to a church, 5,000 added to the church. He's a preaching machine. He's going around and he's just walking down the street and people are getting healed through the power of God. All this great stuff. So all of a sudden they lock him down in prison. He's like, woo! A night off! Glory! Amen? They chained him up to the next two prisoners and they're laying there chained up to him and he's over there. Sleep! No, so deep of a sleep that when an angel comes in, he don't even know it. God, I'm always cracked up about where they put him. Oh, he's a death row inmate. I mean, the worst of the worst. They put him in 16 different guards and four levels of prisons. They put him in the very bottom. What were they worried about? Was he going to preach to them? What were they worried about? Was he going to heal somebody? Man, we got to get rid of all this good. Let's put him at the very bottom. He's down there sleeping at midnight and the angel comes walking in. I don't know what the guards are doing. They're like, man, this guy has got some serious sleep apnea or something. He is gone. Peter's like, this is the most rest I've had since the day of the resurrection. This is almost good. Amen. The angel comes down there and like, looks at him. Wake up! I mean, literally has to smite him in the side. I mean, he hits you. When you get angels hitting you, man, you're rocking on some sleep, Jack. I mean, could you imagine? Wake up, Peter. Come on, Simon. Come on, come on, rock of the church, get up. I meant to call you the rock of the church. I didn't mean you to sleep like a rock. Get up. Peter's like, oh, man, I ain't coming out of this sleep. It's good. So he smites him. I don't know what he hit him with, but he smites him. Peter's like, oh, what in the world? What are you waking me up for? Get up and put your stuff on. We're leaving. This is the Holy Ghost jailbreak. Holy God. What do you mean we're breaking out? In slow motion. Put your shoes on. Put your shirt. Ain't that cool how God does it? I mean, we think God's in a rush. We think He's in a hurry. He's God. I mean, golly, we say, oh, God, hurry up. Do this. Do it. Do it. Do it. Hurry, God, make the move. God's like, I'm God. I can make the move whenever I want to make it. I'm not on your time schedule. Matter of fact, I'm not on time. I'll say it again. I'll slow it down where you can hear it. He's not on a time schedule. God's not on time. Amen? He's running through eternity. Amen? God is a God of no time. That'll help some of you because we always trying to put God on a deadline and the only one that's on a time thing is us. God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I already know how this thing comes out. Stop worrying. I got it under control. Isaiah said He seen me high and lifted up. I was seated on the throne of glory in the year that King Uzziah died. That ain't changed. Ain't going to change. So just maintain. Amen. Golly, bum. Sometimes God can chill me out in a heartbeat. Some days this week I was just, oh God, look at this, look at that, and listen to this. God, look at that. God said, I've been here the whole time. Stop focusing on stuff that don't matter. I got a friend of mine who told me this story about what happened at her house. She said she went out in her yard to do some work. And she opened up her garage door. And when she did, a little bird flew in. And the bird flew over to the door in her house and was trying to get out through the door, right? And just kept pecking and pecking and pecking and like, get me out of here! Now the garage door was open and could have got out anytime they wanted to, but was super focused on this little bitty thing that was happening, right? I can get out of here. And busting your head. Now, come on, help me preach. Have you ever busted your head against something over and over and over and you're focused on that and God's over here going like, hey, there's a door over here. Amen? I mean, anytime you want to get out, come through me, you can come this way. And what was really cool about it, she said that there was another little bird. Hallelujah! Praise God for the other little birds! I had to do that. I'm sorry. There's another little bird come flying in there and was like, hey, follow me to the exit. You're busting your head on this little bitty window. Amen? I said window funny. I don't care. Come to the garage door. We'll get out of here. We'll get out of here easy. There's a big wide open place. I tell you, this was me. I was that little bird this week. Bow, 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 hitting my head. And other little birds were coming to me and saying, hey, stop. This way, friend. And dude, you feel so smart when you figure it out. No, I'm serious. Chase, you'll get this. Just like this. You're on my, me and you, we're good. It's like this. Yeah. Everybody knows Chase. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hey, all the other birds knew. We figured it out late. But we figured it out. We ain't busting our head. Now we're flying, right? I love this, man. There he is. There he is. Peter's down and he's in that bottom of that prison. He's dead asleep. Put your shoes on. Put your clothes on. Let's go. Okay. Don't rush me. I'm getting ready. And it says they went up two levels and up to the level to the gate opening. And guess what? He didn't even realize. My gosh, God's so good. He will take you through things. And sometimes you won't even realize what you're doing until you're on the way out. Amen. I mean, some of you, oh, I'm so talented. I'm so smart. I'm so good. You don't have to be when you're walking with God. You just got to walk with Him. Amen. Peter will tell the days, he'll tell his kids how he broke out of prison one day, and he'll probably say it, tell it all cool and all this other stuff, but really it was like this. Get up, put your stuff on, I'm going to walk you out of here. And when I get you to the very gate, you'll open, you'll finally wake up your eyes. Your eyes will open, you'll pay attention. Because if I let you pay attention any other time in this, you'll think it was about you instead of me. He's standing outside the gate and he's like, hey, we're out. We made it. No help to you. Hey, man. Ain't God like that, though? How many of you are sitting here this morning and God's been good to you despite of who you are? How many of you are sitting here right now and you're free from some stuff? Amen? I would say some jail. I would say some drugs. I would say some bad relationships. I would say some bad things. How many of you are sitting here and you wouldn't be sitting here if God didn't come get you and rescue you when you wouldn't even go rescue yourself? I'll just go ahead and say it for you. I'm one of them. Amen? I'm one of them. Somebody said, well, you're a preacher. Yeah, I'm a preacher for one reason only. That's a calling on my life. Other than that, it's all God all the time. You ready? Yeah, this is going to preach right here. I read all that, preached all that to get to verse 11. This is my favorite part. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know for surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. If you're a radical, underline that word, the expectations. Friend, I hate to tell you this, but I hope some of y'all are going to get this loud and clear. Some of y'all need to stop worrying about other people's expectations. I'm going to just tell you this right now. I'm not going to meet every one of y'all's expectations. I might not meet none of your expectations. And I don't really care. I really don't care. You better get that mentality. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, guess what? People got expectations for you. They got expectations. They think you should do this, this, and this. Guess what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to do everything God wants me to do. And if I fail, the first one I'll talk to is God. And the first people I'll apologize is the people I didn't go and do what I'm supposed to do about it. Amen? But listen, there's some people sitting here this morning are on different expectation levels. There's somebody in this crowd this morning, I'll just say it this way, nobody ever expected you to be in the pews again. It'd help you if you shout every once in a while, but don't worry about it. Some of you, there's been people in this pews that are sitting here right now, they thought you'd never make it out of the hospital. They didn't think you was going to be alive. You're sitting here and people, it's amazing because somebody says, where is he? Or where is she? You know what? They're at the house of God. Somebody's probably saying this morning, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect him to do well. There's some other people here, you're in your right mind and you're sober and nobody expected that either. Maybe an ex-wife. Maybe an ex-husband, maybe some old friends you ran around with. They expected you to be in jail. They expected you to be dead. They expected you to be in the hospital. They expected you to still be in trouble. They expected to feel better than they feel better about themselves because they were better than you. But here you are. Hallelujah. I wish I was in one of them crazy shouting churches where people who were real miserable would start shouting and stuff. It'd be neat. Is there anybody in here glad you ain't meeting up with your expectations of other people? Amen? I am. I still run into a few people who expected me to never do anything but wrong. Amen? Boy, ain't that good? Everybody expected you to do wrong, didn't they? Oh, he'll probably end up in jail. He ain't no good. I know some people better than him, but ain't that neat how God, he just keeps using you, brother? Ain't it amazing that God just keeps on putting you on the trophy shelf even though everybody else wants to put you in the dung pile? God keeps putting you on the trophy shelf. Amen. Some of you in your right mind today. Everything ain't perfect. Everything ain't okay. But you're doing all right now. Amen. Boy, I wish I had some real people. I mean, man, it's a battle every day. And the battle goes on right up in here. The battlefield of your mind. And you wrestle with thoughts. Depression, anxiety, fear, heartache, brokenness, and you don't know what to do. You don't know one way to turn to the other. But guess what? You're sitting here in the morning and all hell expected you to stay home. Everybody thought you was going to fold up your tent. Everybody thought you was going to quit. Everybody thought you'd never come back to church, never praise God. Everybody thought, well, after this, he'll be done. She'll be done. But here you sit. You're a trophy of grace. You're sitting here, despite of how I feel, despite of my anxiety, despite of my fear, despite of my heartache, despite of that, God's good to me. A sinner. I know how hard it is sometimes to come to the house of God. Sometimes you want to stay home. Sometimes you want to do something else. Sometimes you pray for everything else to change. And God says, go anyway. How many of you are glad you made it to the house of God today, despite of how you felt? You're not meeting anybody's expectations but God's. Amen? That was one of the best verses in here. Because guess what? The devil will tell you, you better please everybody. Amen. You better do everybody's bidding. You better make everybody happy. I found out a long time ago in ministry, I ain't trying to make everybody happy. I'm not. I'm trying to please God. And if I'm doing that, I'm fine. You say, well, you might end up out there on the street. You might end up over the lawn. If that's what God wants, great. But I hate to tell you this. My God's a big God. My God's a big God. And I trust Him with everything I got. And you know what He's done for the last, say, 12, 13 years? Put food on my table, power in my house, clothes on my back. And that, you know, that 10 or 11 years ago, I walked out of stuff that was on me. Because I can go to work. I can punch a clock. My daddy taught me how to work when I was a little boy. My dad told me one thing when I was a kid. He got down and he got right in my face and he said, son, always work. I said, what? I was about 6. He said, work. He said, work harder than everybody else and you'll always have a job. I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't want a job. I want to do the will of God the rest of my life. That's what I want. That's what you should want. And I don't care if we meet expectation or not. But I thought this was cool. All the people were expecting Peter to die. They were expecting him. They were like, hey, tomorrow we're going to see another one of them preachers' heads roll. James' head roll. Tomorrow we're going to see Peter's heads roll. Amen? He's going to be a dead man. But guess what? God had another plan. Can you write this down? Make a note right here. Let's get teacher serious real quick. How about that? Know this. When you start seeing the enemy really do crazy stuff in your life, I'm serious. When you get punched in the face or in the gut and things are seeming like they're crazy, like this. Let's say it like this. Say your best friend got his head cut off and you're in prison and you think your head's going to get cut off. Okay, let's say it like that. That will kind of stick with the script tonight, right? Well, then you should know this. Then you're making headway in the enemy territory. So I realized, wait a minute, if I have been punched in the face or hit in the gut, or if I feel like things are going crazy, maybe I have thoroughly got on the enemy's nerves. Maybe I have crossed into some territory that he is trying to defend. I can do two things. I can stop, focus on what's going on here. That's number one. Number two, I can turn around and go back to where I'm comfortable. Or number three, go right on doing what we're doing. Amen. I choose number three. I think I'm going to step over the Brook Bezoar and go on to doing what I was doing because I've got some people in my life. I got blessed this week. There was a man who called me 6 months ago. You know what he said? He said, brother, will you do me a favor? I said, yeah. He said, my son's sitting right here. Okay? I said, what's going on with him? Well, he's going to either do two things. He's going to go with this policeman and he's going to go to recovery, or he's going to kill himself. And he only wants to talk to one person. Will you talk to him? Yeah, put him on the phone. What do I do? Kevin, what do I do? I said, well, put whatever weapon you got down, turn yourself over to the police officer, go get well and call me when you get done. Okay, that's what I'll do. I got a message this week. This week. Me and my wife are sober. And I want to thank you for talking me out of one of the darkest places in my life. I thought, man, that's pretty cool. I think that's worth keeping on. I think we'll just step over to the Brook Bezoar and just keep on doing what we're doing. Amen? I've got some friends in this church. They're trophies of grace. And I get to see them on a regular basis. I think the devil had a lot of plans for them at one time. But God's got a whole different set of plans. And it's pretty cool to watch. You know what else I love about this church? The kids. They are a mess. A good mess. They climb on stuff. They run around. They grow under your feet. And they run through the parking lot. And they tear the classes to pieces. And my God, it's going to be fun to watch them grow up in the house of God. And it's going to be fun to see what they turn into. Because they're being raised by a family of churchgoers. It's pretty crazy. I see you women that come out of that nursery. I see your hair. I see your faces. One day you're going to be amazed because one of the wildest kids you have, you're going to say, that right there, I just don't know about him. You know what you're going to say about him? I can't believe he's an evangelist. I can't believe he's a missionary. I can't believe he's a pastor. And you'll thank God. We're tearing down expectations here at this church. We're tearing down expectations. The devil's got expectations for every person in this church. We're tearing down expectations. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate of gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is he. It is his angel. Y'all good with this? Is this cool? Have you ever prayed for something and happened and you don't even believe it really happened? These people prayed all night long. They were expecting Peter today to die. Have you ever prayed for something and expecting a bad end? Don't lie. I have. I'm praying for him to be broke out of prison. But, you know, Peter or James died too. So there's probably really no help. There's probably no reason why he'd break him out. Didn't God love James? Ooh. God loved James so much he wanted him home. But then all of a sudden Peter gets out and they've been praying all night. And listen, they're so good of Christians, we're phonier now than they were. Praise God. Rhoda walks out there, sees him and looks at him and goes, oh my gosh, he's here. She doesn't unlock the gate and let him in though. She runs back in and she tells all of them that are praying, golly, is this not fun to anybody else? This is pretty good, ain't it? Come on, Lamar, laugh or something, man. Hey, look, she runs in there. They've been praying. They're spiritual. I mean, spiritual, brother. More spiritual than me and you. Hey, amen. They run in there, and they're like, hey, stop praying for a minute. God's answered the prayers. Peter's right out here. You're mad. You're mad. You're crazy. I know you are. Listen, you're crazy. Listen, man, they've been praying. Otis, they've been praying all night. They've been asking God to do this. And all of a sudden it came true. And the woman said, hey, your prayers have been answered. I wish y'all would look up that word mad. I mean, that means out of your mind, insane. You're insane. Rhoda, you, instead of praying, you've been, what'd you go out there to do? God, you better help me. But he's out there. Oh, it's not him. It's his angel. What was that? What's that all about? You know what? They come to find out it is him. The thing that kept them up all night praying. Listen, don't feel so bad about yourself. Don't feel like you're such, oh, I'm such a failure to Christian. I pray, and nothing happens. Listen, keep praying, keep loving, keep walking, keep talking for Jesus. Guess what? God's working this whole thing out the way he wants to. I'll give you a key to this prayer thing. And you don't want to hear it because I don't either. Stop talking so much in prayer and do some listening. Stop talking so much in prayer and do some listening. Listen, God knows your heart. And if you wait on the Holy Spirit, if you wait on the Spirit of God, He'll start making prayer for you. He'll start praying because He knows what to ask for instead of asking what we want. It's okay to ask what you want. But here's the key. Some part of this prayer needs to be where you be quiet and just turn your antenna on and say, God, speak back to me. And you're going to sit there and go, wait a minute, God ain't going to talk to you. Yeah, but you'll be amazed as soon as you open your eyes and start flipping the pages of that book right there. The answers will start coming like crazy. There they are, the answers that you needed. Or somebody will show up. It'll be miraculous. They'll walk up and say the things you need to hear. God's good. Let's all stand. Let's come get a song of invitation. Maybe some expectations are being met in your life. Maybe you're in a real bad place this morning. The only thing I know to tell you is to come up here and get on this altar and say, God, help me escape the expectations of other people. I've already heard this morning somebody said, the devil's really after us. Well, if the devil's really after you this morning, if he really is, come up here to this altar and ask God to help you get him off of your and out of your life. Because the only way the devil gets beat is through Jesus Christ. If you want him to really do battle in your life, if you've got something so big and so bad, then come introduce it to God, because God's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your issue. Anxiety, fear, depression, health problems, money issues, relationship issues. If you got them, this is the time to come and seek the Lord on it. Amen? This altar's open. Come pray. You ain't even got to wait for the first key.